You'll turn back to the Word of God, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Next week, we will, God willing, be electing up to four men to serve as elders alongside our current session. And so I've been taking time to consider what God's Word says about the eldership. We've already considered that the eldership is an office given by Christ Jesus to the church. Jesus is King and Head of the church. And yet He has given elders to oversee the work of the church. Well, what is that work? What is the task of the elder? We noted it was a noble task. It's one of being a pastor, caring for the sheep, feeding the sheep, the flock. The elders have been given for the spiritual good of the church. And they serve in a way that isn't lording it over people, but it's one of serving as under-shepherds, following the pattern of Jesus Christ, who washed His disciples' feet. And so it's not surprising that such an office with such a task has requirements given by God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1, we have qualifications or requirements for the eldership. Elders are to be men who are spiritually mature, men who exhibit Christ-likeness, men who hold to and can defend the faith and the truth of Scripture. Now, these are all characteristics that every Christian should aspire to, but they should be clearly seen in the lives of elders. And as elders minister among the congregation, as they shepherd the flock, we also noted an encouragement for elders. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, they will receive the unfading crown of glory. Although their ministry is often in the context of hardship and suffering and difficulties, there is the encouragement of the glory to come. They are serving an end. They are serving towards something, the new heavens and the new earth, for themselves and for all of Christ's people. This brings us this morning to our fifth sermon in the series on eldership. And we're now turning the spotlight on you, the congregation. Our responsibility to our elders. I heard recently of someone who was in conversation with another person, and they told them that we were having a series on the eldership. And the other person, who was a minister, replied, "Oh, well, that will then be a battering session for the elders." And in many ways, any series on the eldership is. It's difficult for elders to hear. It's a challenge to us. Because as elders, we feel an immense sense of unworthiness, of inadequacy, of responsibility. And so this series, I know, has weighed heavily on us as elders. Any series, any sermon on the eldership is always going to be something of a battering session for elders. Because we're just men. Sinful men saved by grace. Men who struggle with temptations, who struggle with weaknesses, who struggle with disappointments, but called by King Jesus to serve. And so we need your encouragement. We need your prayers. We need a congregation united and serving together, partnering together as we work in the kingdom of Jesus Christ here in Kalibaki. And we need a congregation that knows its responsibilities in the work of Christ's kingdom. And we're very thankful that in many ways we do have that. And so as we come to elect up to four more men to serve as elders, Let's consider again our responsibility towards our elders as we find it in God's word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verses 17 to 19. And it will be good for you to have your Bibles open so that you know that what is said this morning comes from the word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And then verses 17 to 19, our responsibility to our elders. And the first thing we notice is we are to imitate their example. Imitate their example. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Just as elders are to set an example of Christlikeness before the congregation, so the congregation is then to follow that example. We are to be those who imitate the faith of our elders. Now that again puts a responsibility on us as elders. As I've said, we're men who are well aware of our weaknesses and our shortcomings. But we should be men who could say, follow me. Follow the way I am walking. Follow us. We're to set the pattern. We are to set the example in everything. And then, as a congregation, we're to say to you, imitate us. Imitate our faith. This is like what Paul was able to say to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Now he preceded that by saying, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul became like a father figure, a spiritual leader, a spiritual elder to the church in Corinth. And he says to them, follow my example. He will repeat this later on in his letter, chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Matthew Henry, in his wonderful commentary, puts it this way. Follow me as far as I follow Christ. Come up as close as you can to my example in those instances wherein I endeavor to copy after his pattern. Be my disciples as far as I manifest myself to be a faithful minister and disciple of Christ and no further. I would not have you be my disciples, but his. For Paul and for us as elders, we long for you, the congregation, to follow our example as far as we follow Christ. We know our weaknesses. We know our failings. We know our stumblings. We say this with great humility, and we say it with a sense of challenge to ourselves again. But where you see us following Christ, imitate, follow. This is what any father should be able to say to his children. This is what we should be able to say to our children. Imitate me in my faith. This is a challenge for those of you who are parents. Wanting to see your children walking in Christlikeness, you should be able to say to your children, follow my example. Imitate my faith. For those who are older in the faith, although you may not have children of your own, there are people who look up to you, who seek to follow your example. We should all be able to say to another Christian, imitate my faith, follow my example. Children and young people who are here, how should you live the Christian life? What does it look like to be a Christian? And so, boys and girls, I say to you this morning, look to your mums and dads. Be like them. That's what it looks like to be a Christian. That's what it looks like to follow a Christ-like example. If you want to know how to make a good decision in the Christian faith, follow their example. Listen to them. Teenagers, you've probably reached that stage where you realize your mum and dad aren't cool. But do you want to know how to live the Christian life? Follow their example. Imitate their faith. For us as a congregation, the writer to the Hebrews says, remember your leaders. Consider those who've served as elders in the past, those who can remember faithful elders and ministers of the past, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and follow, imitate their faith. This is part of our responsibility as a congregation. Your responsibility to the elders. Imitate their example. Be imitators as they are of Christ Jesus. Imitate their example. Then secondly, submit to their authority. Submit to their authority. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Now these are very unpopular words. These are unpopular words out in the world. You just have to look at recent protests in France, in the United Kingdom. There is an anti-establishment attitude in the world. We hate to obey and submit. As human beings, we don't like that. But wasn't that part of the fall? Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? They didn't submit or obey to God. Part of the struggle with sin that we have is we always feel this pull or this inclination to disobey and to not submit. We see it in the world, but we can also at times see it in the church. That anti-establishment attitude. When people say, who are you to tell me what to do? Why should I follow you? I want to do things my own way. I'm going to go my own way. I'm an individual. You've no right over me. We don't like having to submit. But let's remember, this is God's word. And God's word tells us, God's word commands us to obey and submit to our leaders in the church. Those who watch over your souls, the elders. The writer to the Hebrews then gives us four reasons why we should submit to their authority. Four reasons we can obey and submit to the authority of elders. Firstly, because of their task. For they are keeping watch over your souls. Here are men who have your spiritual good at the heart of every decision that they make. They are keeping watch over your souls. This is the task of eldership. This word, keeping watch, it means or can mean to not sleep. It's what we sang about in Psalm 121. The God who doesn't sleep as he keeps watch over us. Elders are men who keep watch. They are men who at times don't sleep. Men who've had sleepless nights over the church. And that happens. It does happen. Men who wrestle in prayer for you. Men who care for your soul, your eternal soul. If a doctor who cares for your physical body examined you, and then he was to tell you, you should really cut back on the biscuits, don't drink as much coffee, don't eat as much ice cream, and exercise once in a while. What would we say to such a doctor? Well, of course. You're keeping watch over my physical body. You know what's best for my physical body. This will be good for me to do these things. And we are going to cut back on those things. We're going to exercise a little bit more because this man cares for my physical body. How much more the elder who cares for what is eternal, your soul. When he says, this is for your good, we should do it, ready to obey. When he says, this is for your spiritual growth in grace, be ready to submit. When the elder says, you should come to the prayer meeting, come to evening worship, he's saying it because he has care for your soul, for that part of you that can never die. He's saying this is for your good. This is for your spiritual growth in grace. And we should be saying to that, of course I will. Why wouldn't I listen to you? You have my good at the very heart of what you're doing. The elders keep watch over your souls. This is the first reason why we should submit to their authority. They have the task of keeping watch over your soul. The second reason for submitting to their authority is because of their responsibility. We're told in verse 17, they do this as those who will have to give an account. This is something that the elders, this is not something that the elders do lightly. The church isn't a type of social club or a gathering one day a week. No, as elders, we have to give account before Jesus Christ for how we have cared for the sheep. That's a massive responsibility. It's not one that we take lightly. Elders don't serve for their own benefit. They serve Jesus Christ. They serve the chief shepherd, and it is to him that they will have to give an account. So as a congregation, let us help them to give a good account. Let us encourage them. Let us submit to them. Obey them. Because they will have to give an account before Jesus Christ. The third reason to submit to their authority is because of their love or because of their joy. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. Being an elder isn't easy. We looked at this 2 weeks ago when we thought about the encouragement in the ministry, and the context of that ministry is often one of suffering, the hardship and difficulties and disappointments and heartbreak. It's hard being an elder, but also at the same time, it can be one that's filled with immense joy and pleasure. And a congregation can make this spiritual leadership a joy and not a burden. And they do it through their submission, through their obedience. When the elders see you at morning worship, that stirs our hearts. That fills us with joy. When we see you at evening worship, that excites us. That pleases us. When we see you at a prayer meeting, that brings so much pleasure to our souls and our hearts and our minds. When we see you serving, when we see you loving one another, fellowshipping together, you have it in your capability to make the eldership a joy for the elders. You have that. That's something that you can do as you submit, as you obey, as you imitate their pattern. It's spiritually good for us. It's spiritually good for the elders when we see you at worship services and prayer meetings and giving of yourselves. The elders can serve with joy. Let them serve with joy and not with groaning. We have to say that most of the time, the vast majority of the time, our serving here in Kullibaki is a serving with joy and not with groaning. But let's make it more and more so. What a blessing it is to have this joy in serving. The fourth reason for submitting to the authority of the elders is because it's good for the whole church. Look at the end of verse 17. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. We're told that not submitting to the authority of the elders, that's of no advantage to the church whatsoever. Therefore, by obeying and submitting, there is an advantage to the church. Think of this. There can be great blessing for us as a congregation, as a church family, as we submit and obey our leaders who take care of our souls. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here. What a blessing it is, and that we have received in being united as believers, serving together, fellowshipping together, that there's growth and there's blessing as a whole congregation walks together in the ways of Christ. Friends, there is much blessing and benefit to be gained. There's much good to be gained in a congregation that obeys and submits to its elders who watch over their souls in Christ Jesus. Our responsibility to our elders to submit to the elders' authority in Christ Jesus. The responsibility is to imitate their faith as far as they imitate Christ, to obey and submit to their authority in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly and lastly, the third responsibility is to pray for them in their duties. Pray for them in their duties. Verses 18 and 19. Pray for us. Pray for the elders. As I said, this is a series of sermons, as any series on the eldership would be, that challenges and rebukes us as elders. It reminds us of our failings and our weaknesses. It makes us question our ability to serve in this way. We feel like Paul the Apostle, when he wrote 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, "Who is sufficient for these things?" We just feel so insufficient, so inadequate. So pray for us. Surely this is the greatest ministry that any member in a church can give to their elders. Pray for them. Pray for them in their task. Pray for them in their responsibility. Pray for us in our walk with Christ. Pray for us. We are just men. We are those who are prone to sin and temptation. We're prone to weakness and frailty. So pray for us. Pray, as the writer to the Hebrews says, that we will have a clear conscience, that we will be men who desire to act honorably in all things. Pray for us. Next week, as we elect up to four more men to serve on session, be praying for them. Set aside time in your week, one day a week, to pray for your elders. Verse 19, the writer to the Hebrews asks that this would be done more earnestly. Pray earnestly for us as elders. Friends, we need your prayers. is the greatest ministry that you could give to the session here, to be praying for them. And this is also following the pattern of Christ. This is what Christ did for his disciples. He prayed for his disciples. You would be following the example of Jesus Christ as you pray for us. Pray that we will be kept and protected, upheld and strengthened, united, be faithful, be praying. Satan would love to come and bring disunity. He would love to come and bring dissatisfaction. Pray for us. The easiest thing to do in a church is to complain, to criticize, to point out the faults. I was reading through a blog on the internet this week. It's one of those ones where people go to different churches. They call themselves the secret worshippers, and then they fill out various questions on the service, and they then post them online. And I was astounded at the negativity. Either the coffee wasn't right, the sermon was too long, the worship wasn't to their taste. And this is a website that claims to be run by those who want to point out the folly, to point out the mistakes, or to ask the hard questions, as they put it. We are there to ask the hard questions. We are there to do the hard thing. That's what they claim. Rubbish. That's the easiest thing to do, is to complain and point out faults and weaknesses. The hardest thing to do is to be involved. The hardest thing to do is to give yourself. The hardest thing to do is to support and pray. The hardest thing to do is to submit to those that Christ has put in place to serve the church. The hard question isn't what's wrong, where are the faults? No, the hard question is, are you ready to give of yourself? Are you ready to imitate their faith? Are you ready to submit to their authority? Are you ready to pray for us all the more earnestly? The hard thing is to realize that we each have a responsibility. But when we are fulfilling our responsibility, what a joy, what a blessing, what an advantage that is to any congregation. Amen.